When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Charger 30, leg race 20, Justice Hill 10, he's in! Touchdown, Ravens! Justice Hill goes 51 yards, and the Ravens extend their lead.
Ravens radio with the call. We're off to a start already, just right before the show begins.
Is that the Ravens radio in Baltimore?
I don't see it.
We got the clearance yesterday from Tim Collins after the show to go to the NFL Combine. Bobby has been cooking up this idea for about 2 years now. While the other shows are in Surprise, Arizona, we got the time difference, so tough to ask the Rangers to come on at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning live. So Bobby's like, let's go opposite. Let's go from, what the hell is their standard time?
Eastern.
No. Arizona.
Well, when we would go, it would be mountain time.
Yeah, it's Arizona time. It's their own unique time. They don't change.
So instead of that, we're like, let's just go an hour later. Let's go to the NFL Combine. Let's go where the Cowboys are, possibly their new coach, and Jerry Jones and the bus, and let's go to Indianapolis. So Tim Collins, Gavin Spittle giving us the green light yesterday, and I was sitting here, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm going to have that desperation of trying to get into the Miami hotspot where Magic and Wilbon and
Prime 112
and Barkley. Yeah.
We got banished to the Randy Galloway Prime Italian across the street.
So we're circling around, and this was actually the number one RJ rental car situation I think he's pulled off. He's pulled off plenty. Cadillac convertible or something?
Yeah, it was like the two-door sports car convertible.
So I felt, you know, I was on top of the world. We're sitting there, Miami NBA Finals. Let's go to this place. It's got a Prime 112. And we're circling around, is it South Beach?
Yeah,
the area. And, you know, parking's tough. And we're circling, and, you know, there's a Lamborghini, and there's a Ferrari, and there's an Aston Martin, and there's a, you know, even a Porsche is probably a backhanded thing. And by the time we kept circling, I'm like, I don't know if we belong. I don't know if we're gonna get accepted, even with our awesome, cool Cadillac convertible. So they banished us along with the great Randy Galloway right across the street.
Same menu.
That's the JV one.
They said you get the same menu over there.
And isn't there a JV? Okay, so then over to this, I'm like, all right, we're going February, end of February. Let's go to this famous steakhouse. This is the place for the cocktail sauce and the Caymus. This is where Sean Payton and Jerry Jones would battle and fight each other for the bottle of Caymus. And, you know, the number one steakhouse, or at least most known in Indianapolis. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a reservation for three. I can choose from 6:30, 6:45, 7 o'clock, 7:15 for like the Thursday that we're in the mix of it, in the thick of it. And Chop goes, St. Elmo's where? And I was like, Dallas, being sarcastic. And he's like, well, why is there a Nobu here? Why is there a Nobu here?
Because Nobu stands for what?
North Malibu.
Nope.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Prove me wrong.
It's the chef.
I don't believe anybody's name is Nobu. I don't believe that. Well, that's not a real name.
So I don't know how to buy this. This to me, in being married to someone who managed and ran these types of reservations, this is we get in and we get bumped. There's no way. How are there reservations like this?
As Seinfeld said, the reservation keeps the car here. So I think it's set.
Early in the evening, I think, for a lot of people. Like while they're out there, they're working late. Usually they're doing meetings late. So
they haven't had dinner with Sean.
6:30
made it.
The other thing is,
you.
Oh, as Sean Payton.
No.
As Broadus has brought up before, a lot of the meetings, because they stay late into the night and stuff like that, a lot of it ends up at like Steak and Shake. Broadus said trades have happened at the Steak and Shake in Indianapolis than anywhere else in the world.
Well, is there Steak and Shakes around here anymore?
They have like one or two. They've got one in Irving where my Explorer is currently sitting.
We struck out of the St. Elmo's here, but we got the steak.
For instance, like Prime 47. If you were to look up Prime 47,
is that the JV one?
No, Prime 47 is another one of the hot spots.
Harry and Izzy's is next door to St. Elmo's. That's like the same, or we used to be the same owner. Where you get the same menu.
They shut down. Like Prime 47, I think, shows up as though it closes at 11 o'clock. During Combine Week, they have special hours where starting at 10, they take all the tables out and they just turn it into a bar that they keep open till like 4 in the morning. And so a lot of people just end up packing Prime 47 or these other spots. These steakhouses turn into bars, basically, where their hours extend way later, and they just put the tables up because it's been such a like revenue maker for them.
So should I just try? Sounds illegal to me, Pat. Right. You know, where's TABC? Should I try to just, you know, what Prime 47 one night, St. Elmo's one night? This would be the most ridiculous meal expense bill that we have in the history, and then we'll be sitting there just sitting up at the bar, and my head will be on a swivel.
St. Elmo's, like, you can start at St. Elmo's for dinner, and then you can just go to Prime for the bar. Because Prime, you just walk in, it gets packed, though. It's tight. It's tough to get up to the bar to get a drink.
All right, so looks like we got a reservation, at least for Thursday.
Oh, but.
And you know that cocktail sauce that you mentioned? There was the article we read from Indianapolis last year that said that's Jerry's famous prank on draft prospects, is he'll have them try it, and that then they have no idea how hot what they're about to eat is.
Jerry Jones coming up at 8:30 this morning. We'll have to ask him about it. All right, back to business. That's the type of show you're going to get today and throughout the rest of the week with the zaniness of everybody having off. 30-23. The Harbaugh Bowl goes to the big brother yet again. 3-0 for John over Jim. This game was close, and then there was a pull away for the Ravens in the second half.
There was, and they're just...
It felt like a different class.
It did. It felt like one team had to go up in weight class and fight, and they just couldn't handle it. And there's... Look, Baltimore, when they're playing their best, like I think that they're the one team that really nobody wants to see. Like, you could beat them... Because they could sometimes have just a blah game, or they make a lot of mistakes, the defense doesn't show up. But they're also, they've got to be a nightmare to have to just to plan for. Just absolutely treacherous to sit there on Monday and watch tape and be like, oh man, how the hell are we going to beat these guys?
Yeah, they're tough.
But you can make a case. Some defensive mind is sitting out there going, I want Lamar in the playoffs because that has been the kryptonite.
It has.
You know?
It has.
Force him to throw, not going to run around, whatever these defensive game plans have been.
Yeah, it's something.
Unless you think he's really, you know, elevated in that area, which many people do.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Dave, in the last, you know, two seasons, they obliterated Buffalo and they obliterated Detroit and they did the same thing to San Francisco. The only team they really don't obliterate is Kansas City. Like, when they have a big-time matchup, like against another big-time team, I mean, they put it to them oftentimes.
Yeah, look, I mean, Baltimore and Lamar has – this year Lamar's been better as a passer, and he's learned a better – like, he extends plays more and actually takes advantage of a lot of it instead of, like we're talking about with Jaden Daniels the other day, where Jaden Daniels will just break the pocket, and when he's decided he's running, he's running. Like, I think we saw some of that against Dallas the other day. That when Jaden Daniels started going on the move, it was like, okay, the pass is out of the question now. He's not moving to extend the play and try and take advantage of things. Lamar Jackson's gotten better at kind of maneuvering things. That, like, on the two-point conversion, for instance, I was surprised he didn't break. Like, he normally would just run in the past. And it didn't convert for him, but he's somebody who's gotten better at using that to his advantage. But the biggest thing with Baltimore is just their defense has not been good this year. It was better last night. They were able to sustain it. I don't know why Harbaugh got away from J.K. Dobbins so much. Dobbins looked like he was going to go for 200 yards.
The swing in this game, I thought it was a really bad call that went against the Chargers. Then a drop. It was a nightmare evening for TCU. Quentin Johnston, 4 targets, 0 catches. Aikman's like, it's clearly in his head right now. He had a humongous drop, and then it was ball game after that. Baltimore wins.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. That's friend of the show, voice of God, Quentin Johnston, who we had on, voice. Who has the in a world voice. But
in a world.
Yeah, this is where I think the Chargers are. You see, like, the evidence that they're going.
I didn't see Montana last night, as Jim told me that we were watching one of the greats of all time. So pay attention to it. I wasn't seeing it.
Boy, I still as good as Justin Herbert is, and as good as his numbers have been this year, just the raw numbers. it does still look like it's a little bit of a handcuffed Justin Herbert to me. Like, Harbaugh does not look like he totally trusts him to me. I mean, like, you saw it, like, when he ran and scored the touchdown, had the dorkiest touchdown celebration in the history of the world, the tight clutch of the football and, like, running to the sideline like he's protecting it. But Harbaugh doesn't – I don't think when you watch the Chargers play, it looks like Harbaugh has a whole lot of trust in him not to make a mistake.
Now, would you have gone for two the way John did? Up 23-16. They took a 23-16 lead.
Yep.
So you're up seven. There's 12 to go-ish in the fourth,
yeah,
and he goes for two. So you could have kicked an extra point, make it an eight-point game, or go for two, make it nine, which that's what the numbers say to do, make it the nine-point, because you're already safe at seven.
So my initial conservative instinct kicks in, and I'm like, let's make it eight. I always feel great when the other team has to score, and then even if they get the two-point conversion, at the very least, you are tied. The follow-up question in my mind is, all right, if we don't get it and we're still up seven, how likely are they to
go for two?
Go for two.
Yeah.
What was the time in the game?
So it was 12 minutes to go, so you would have made it a two-possession game.
Yeah.
Which you're probably going to get two possessions. When you're getting the ball with 12 to go, you're probably going to get those two possessions.
And I'm going to guess that the other side is going to kick the point to tie unless we are at like the 2 minute or less mark where it's a go for the win situation. Right. I would think that. So in that scenario, I would be more likely to go for two.
Yeah, because I mean, this situation here, if he goes for two, yeah, you do get the two possession advantage. And I got to think he's got to beat both of them. They
know each other.
They know each other, not just because obviously they're brothers. Like, they've talked before about how much they've talked football over the years and how much Jack, their dad, who has, you know, instilled a lot of the different philosophy in them. I'm sure he's got an idea of exactly what chess moves he needs to make, just the way like Jim would.
Or how much you change things up, like the Ravens going for it on their own 16-yard line against your brother to throw things off.
By the way, did we ever get an explanation? What the hell was the issue with the referee saying Mark Andrews that was incomplete at first before they switched the touchdown call back and said, oh, no, wait, he did catch it. That was the clearest looking touchdown catch I think I've seen. And they ruled it incomplete to begin with. And they never explained what was going on.
No Luka, Kyrie says, no matter.
Luka screams. Kyrie shoots again. He is H-O-T-T-O-G-O. 5 of 6 in the fourth quarter. And he is raining threes.
H-O-T-T-O. Hot to go.
Ah, like
go.
Little Caesars.
It's a great song.
What?
Great song.
It is a current hot top, you know, top 40 song. Or,
is that what that reference is?
Yeah.
Who it's is also, it? Maybe, what's the song?
Hot to go.
Yeah, but how's it go?
Just
H-O-T-T-O-G-O. You can take me hot to go.
Okay.
Very popular.
That's not Chapel Roan, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
Kyrie with 32 points. Jaden Hardy with the season high, 23. Najee Marshall is just good for 20 now every single night. And Dinwiddie rebounded from what happened the game before with 22 off the bench as the Mavs win in Atlanta without Luka, 10-8 on the year. And the Hawks fall to 7-11.
Yeah, and Kyrie had a lot of really strong praise to give to Jaden Hardy after the game and talking about the way that he stepped up. Man, it still feels like Jason Kidd, just against his will only play Jaden Hardy when he's...
He started.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though, but it feels like it just is like... He has to be dragged kicking and screaming to put Jaden Hardy on the floor, and I still... It feels like he steps up a lot of times when he's given these opportunities. Like, he'll you know, score in bursts. Mm-hmm. He is a legit classical scorer.
PJ's kind of the same. He'll have a 22, 25-point game and then follow it up with a 9. You never know what you're going to get, but when he's on... I mean, obviously, it's a big boost.
Dallas Stars were up 2 in the third, and then what?
You get it back for Natchez. Natchez looking. It's a flex off his game. The score! Marty Natchez making his own look. And on the power play, the Canes get the bounce. It's 5-4.
Canes TV, a 3-1 lead, disappears and gets detonated as the Hurricanes score 5 in the third at home to improve to 15 wins on the season, 8-1 at home. The Stars are a pedestrian 5-5 away from the AAC.
This was just an avalanche in the third period. Yeah, not a Carolina.
St. Elmo's in there too.
It was
too.
A Carolina avalanche in the third. Like, there's nothing. You're just behind the eight ball at that point. Like, they are just on. They were getting odd man rushes. They were getting power. They were just doing everything. And the Stars' power play has been a problem for them throughout the entire year. I know Spittle's talked about their power play all season long. And there you go again last night, getting shut out on the power play.
And it's so weird because Money Puck had them with a 54% deserve to win o-meter.
If someone could teach me how to give a website a virus, is that illegal to like threaten that?
Yeah.
Oh. 877 881 No, if there's dump worthy, I hit the dump button. RJ's, I don't know if it's dump worthy. Gavin Spittle listening to give a hockey website a virus. That's definitely dump worthy. Steven Jones, did he have mixed feelings? Like many Tolos, that the Cowboys actually won. How laughable are the prices for these Giants tickets? And have they calmed down Malik Nabers before Thanksgiving Thursday? Inside the Star on Sean and RJ next. Short week. Today is a football what in their world?
Today would be Thursday for them.
Thursday.
Yep.
All right. Cowboys, Giants. Right here on this radio station. Everyone's been talking about ticket prices for this, RJ.
Low. I saw them as low as $25.
Hey.
And that's not even, that's for a seat. That's not bad. That's not for the party pass.
Are you embarrassed?
Who's the halftime?
Laney Wilson.
It's worth it going to Laney Wilson for $25. Depends on what, you know.
Well, for what, two songs?
Yeah, it's quick. I mean, they do like...
You'll fit in like... It'll be like a medley.
Yeah.
She'll sing like 30 seconds of eight songs or something. Right. So you'll get a nice smattering of it.
I mean, what did... who do we have? Dolly sang about 4 minutes of Jolene last year.
So $21, $25?
$20 to $25 is you could get in. Get a seat up top. That's pretty low. Pretty low.
Speaking of low... What do you think the over-under is for this game?
I have not looked. 38.5?
37.5.
Oof.
37.5,
oof.
Cowboys favored by 4.
It's like an Army-Navy game.
Before we dive into it a little bit more, Steven Jones yesterday was on the KMC Masterpiece. What a question. They're asking these bold questions. Did you have a mixed reaction about the win, just like many fans of Team Tank?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've been very upfront that we're wanting to win football games right now. And I certainly understand what our record is through a tough stretch in our schedule there where we were playing, you know, division-leading football teams and, you know, the tougher part of our schedule. And, we just want to go out there and win football games. And that's the most important thing right now is play the people who give us the best chance to win the game.
So no surprise there. Was it any sweeter to beat Dan Quinn, who's now on the other side?
Anytime you go on the road against a division opponent, actually, you beat a division opponent anywhere, it's super sweet. And, like I said, we got nothing but the utmost respect for Dan Quinn and what he stands for and what he's all about. So, that's what you get. I'm sure he was wanting us in the worst way, too, in terms of getting a big divisional win, but it was great to get a big divisional win there on the road. And, you know, we've got good football players on this team. We've had some challenges this year, but obviously you look at a game like that with a team that's, one of the better teams in the NFC. Certainly, I think if the playoffs were today, they'd be in them. And, a big win for us. And like I said, we're going to continue to, our goal is to win football games. And it starts Thursday against the Giants and home against Thanksgiving.
Boy, did he give us an RJ Choppy Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah.
That was a Thursday, like Choppy always likes to throw out there.
Where are we with the injuries, Bobby?
It's a little complicated. It's a little complex. So they were thrown off, I think, by the Tyler Smith unavailability. They were really thrown off by Trayvon Diggs. I don't think they knew he wasn't going to play till Saturday afternoon, when I think he kind of said, guys, I'm not going to be able to go. You remember a couple years ago, Amari Cooper in the Jets game, where they felt like they didn't have a good handle on, oh, you're more banged up than we thought. You didn't really communicate that. I think they felt that way with Diggs this week. But it sounds like Stephen had told them yesterday, does not sound good for Jake Ferguson or Zach Martin. Jerry sounded last week like the Ferguson concussion was serious enough that they were going to have to, you know, pump the brakes on him for a little bit. And so Ferguson, Martin sounds like they're out. Sounds like you are going to be getting Tyler Smith back this week, and that's a positive. He's really good. Diggs has a shot to play. So those are all positives if you're trying to win football games. But Zach Martin and Jake Ferguson likely going to be out in this one.
And the Giants are trying to settle down Malik Nabers, trying to calm him down a little bit after he was unhappy about the lack of work in their loss against Tampa.
What a mess the Giants have become. Like the two New York organizations right now are just floundering. And Malik Nabers obviously snapped after the game. Was like, go ask Daboll about it. I don't know. You can go ask him about it. So they went to Brian Daboll. They checked in with him. They asked him. And Daboll has typically been a guy who kind of snaps back in the media whenever he's asked about one of his players. Not this time. He goes, he's a very competitive individual. Again, you want to get the ball in his hands, and I got to do a better job of getting the ball in his hands early. He had 12 targets, by the way. He's a smart young guy that's very competitive. And again, when you lose like that, it's a frustrating thing, but we've had good communication, as we always have.
The snippiest hot coach right now, like McCarthy and Daboll, sounds like they're trying to be a little bit nicer. The snippiest one by 14 country miles is Doug Peterson.
Oh, yes.
He's the one, like,
he knows.
I'd explain it to you if you had the capability of understanding it, but I know you don't. I know you can't comprehend the play call.
It's really wild, though. Like, you mentioned the Giants and Jets are so bad. Like, most of the New York teams right now are pretty good. Mets are good. Yankees are good. Knicks, Rangers, Devils. And then there you got the Giants and the Jets, which are the laughing stocks of their conference.
So Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, boys of Belichick, friend of the show, best buddy of Broadus, he said that Pete Rozelle, the former commissioner, used to really get involved in trying to help out the bad teams, like sitting down with them. Yo, man, like, let's figure out a way to fix this. Let's this, let's that. And he thinks, you know, Pete Rozelle was around, and he thinks, you know, current leadership in the National Football League is not happy with these New York teams. Like that, right. Woody Johnson is kind of an embarrassment. If you guys look at what we are as a league right now in terms of dominance, if you two could carry your weight just a little bit for a 2 or 3 year run, we take it to a next level. That's what Lombardi's perspective was, because of the way Pete Rozelle would try to, you know, raise up the have-nots.
Right, and they are truly have-nots. And like the Giants have had they've been a very historically just a stable organization.
Yeah.
They don't overreact. They don't fire GMs. They don't fire head coaches. They just kind of stay the course, and they're generally.
Theirs isn't circus like. Like the Jets are circus slash cowboy like. The Giants just feel like.
Giants feel like cavemen. Yeah. They just feel old. They feel like they're stuck in their ways. They still have like a landline telephone. They're too worried to switch to like all cell phones in their house. Pittsburgh that's
without,
the Giants.
They're Pittsburgh without the consistency.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
They're trying to, and there's value in like wanting to be that, but when you're clearly not that, you've got to do something different.
It's very old thinking. I mean, the fact that, you know, we've talked about a lot in the last couple weeks, the fact that they let Saquon Barkley go, and there was that quote of, you know, boy, if he ends up with the Eagles, I'm going to be sick to my stomach, and a lot of it about jersey sales and stuff. They worry about things that are just. They're very, very old school in the way that they do things, except, I guess, the way that they treat their quarterback. In that case, they just publicly embarrass him.
And Daniel Jones officially cleared waivers, is now an unrestricted free agent. Adam Schefter threw out two teams. The Ravens and the Vikings as possibilities.
So the Vikings are interesting because, like, obviously JJ's not going to come back at all this year.
Right.
But, you know, what does that do for next year? Because there are people talking that Minnesota could draft a quarterback again next year. Like, why would you? Why would you say that? Some mock drafts.
I think Daniel Jones would just be wherever he's going. I would assume it's just through the end of the year. I don't think he's looking to plant himself anywhere. So it's if Kevin O'Connell feels like, man, I'm not getting the most out of Darnold anymore. They've started having some tougher margins in games. Maybe he does say, does Daniel Jones give me some? And I got to say, if you're Daniel Jones, if you want to talk about for Daniel Jones' headspace, though, to go from the most toxic organization in sports to Mr. Build up everyone's confidence in Kevin O'Connell, including quarterbacks that are on his own, like Anthony Richardson, then I think that'd be a perfect spot, actually.
So there was a Twitter note on a compensatory pick connection to this. If Daniel Jones signs with the team for the remainder of the season, then leaves in free agency and secures a solid backup or bridge quarterback type deal, the team that had him would be in line to receive a compensatory pick.
Wow. Yep. So, I mean, there's benefit for a team, especially if you are looking to stack up more comp picks. And so, I mean, there's definitely a reason to bring him in here. It's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Get our fourth back.
I don't think you'd get a fourth.
Which one?
I know, right?
The one you gave away for the receiver or the quarterback? Here's
running
a perfect
back.
What's that?
Running back.
Here's a perfect example of how out of touch the New York Giants are. They apparently called ESPN to complain about this sportscaster. This is Elle Duncan. I don't know if they're letting her or others on there do like these commentaries or these late night type of media rants, but this is Elle Duncan making fun of the New York Giants, and they apparently called Bristol to complain about this.
You guys think he had this saved in his notes since like 2020?
The speech.
In all seriousness, DJ, I could have saved you like 90 seconds. A rewrite. Sorry you paid me $108 million for one playoff win, and I look forward to reviving my career as Brock Purdy's backup. The end.
There you go. I listened to the whole thing, and I took, like, the most dangerous clip and audio, and they called to complain, apparently, because they got worked up over Duncan's commentary. What are you doing?
That's soft. That's soft with a capital S and a capital W right thrown in there. But the Daniel Jones, that speech he gave was a complete microcosm of Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Like, you couldn't, I mean, he's so scared, his decision-making is so conservative, he's so scared to make a mistake, that he couldn't even speak from the heart. This is, I mean, you've been in the league for 4 years.
Romo did the same thing.
I know, it's stupid. I mean, this
does Daniel Jones have a personality, though? Romo's at least had some charisma to it. Daniel Jones, he looks dead inside.
He does look dead inside, but like
he looks dumb face.
Romo had charisma, but I don't think that was a charismatic speech he gave.
A lot of people love that speech.
I think it was well written, but I mean, like the heavy size, the like it was clearly like I don't even want to read this right now. Like sad. I thought
heartfelt. That was his intent.
Heartfelt.
To convey it as heartfelt. You have no objectivity, so you can't.
I have objectivity.
Really,
I just said it was well written. That's a compliment.
Well written, horribly delivered.
Hey, he read that speech better than he reads a defense.
Well, he's going to end up better than your boy. It's not even going to be close. It might be close. 877-881-1053. In order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Are you willing to sign this Thanksgiving agreement before everyone sits down at your table? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. College football kegger at 7. Post Hut Clarity at 7:20 as Bobby rewatches the Cowboy Washington game and a post Malone ticket giveaway plus Jerry Jones live at 8:30. Thank you for sticking with us before you completely bail for turkey and tryptophan. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And speaking of turkey, what is the Thanksgiving agreement?
Man, this is a little crazy here. There is an Am I the you-know-what thread.
Mm-hmm. Am I the bleep hole?
Uh-huh. A woman is upset with her sister and her family because this one lady is hosting Thanksgiving, all right, this year. But her sister, who's a little bit younger, they're their early 30s, late 20s, decides that there needs to be law and order. We love law and order. And there needs to be law and order to this Thanksgiving. Right. It's a little bit chaotic. And she says that she wants to have a code of conduct, a family code of conduct that you must sign before you attend the Thanksgiving feast.
Now is this like Peyton? Is this where you guys all like bird feed the rolls in y'all's mouth at your table?
No, we throw them. Oh, we throw them.
Yeah. So weird.
You throw this at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And you're going to toss them all up. And you're going to actually follow through for one time that you promise and get like some content for the show or the station, since you don't film the Halloween decorations. You didn't film the roll. We need a Seinfeld naming of this. The tossing of the rolls
the
or something.
The tossing of the
rolls. The tossing of the yeast toss. You think you could just maybe pull out the cell phone camera for 3 seconds and give us a little bit of content?
Well, my family, since I have to actually work on Thanksgiving, unfortunately, I have to work the Cowboys game. Our Thanksgiving is tomorrow night. So, you know what? I'll make a reminder.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with filming. You're still going to be there to do it. I thought you were going to say, I'm missing Thanksgiving.
The phone works on a Wednesday.
No, I said I'll make a reminder.
All right, very good.
Okay. Yeah,
you better. You better. Otherwise,
you butter.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll just have to unload the group messages.
So here is the.
I would be worried if I were you about unloading the group messages.
Absolutely. So here is the codes and the rules.
Especially if I was Caitlin
against.
What? Don't even. But do not. You better correct that now,
Caitlin. I'm just kidding. I just did that to make him uncomfortable. 6:54 will be fun.
A rule against overlapping conversation at the dinner table. Okay, so that's one of the rules.
Overlapping conversation?
Yes, yeah, so they don't want like one end of the table talking about one thing and then the other end talking about the other.
This is Bassick's house?
Right. They want to have a group discussion. A respectful debate club. A ban on political or controversial topics.
So Mike Fisher instituted this ban on us at his 60th birthday party. He would come out of the table.
Richie was probably there.
And it's like he was... What'd you say?
Because Richie was probably there. You know, Will Chambers talking.
Oh, Will came
just,
in hot.
Will would just read his Facebook post.
Oh, my God. Richie and Will. man, it's a good thing you didn't show up. But Fisher just kind of like popped by like a waiter, say, you need anything? And it's just, no politics. No politics.
No politics.
No politics. It was just a little reminder there at the fish party. Yeah.
And then a smart, casual dress code, because holiday photos should reflect well on the family. What's y'all's Thanksgiving attire? Do y'all dress up?
Great question. I don't. Maybe now that I have the in-laws over, I might put on jeans, maybe. But otherwise, no, man. At my house, sweatpants, sweats, work attire, chill clothes, shorts, as a matter of fact, and a hoodie. But now I feel like my mother-in-law and father-in-law are going to come over like dressed up a little bit nice, so I'll try to like bump it up a tiny bit.
This might shock you to discover, but no, I don't dress up.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Nope.
I'm worried about him at the steakhouse as an Indy.
Oh, my gosh.
No. I've been good because
he wears his Sunday church, like tucked in, you know, his Bobby church.
I have to be. Yep. I'll have to be. I'm just saying, like,
why can you hobnob there,
I can't walk in there, like, in shorts, I would if I wanted to.
What do you
wear? They won't let you in.
Right.
Are you
Thanks for letting me know the steakhouse attire.
When you go to a Cowboy game, are you the most underdressed?
Uh-huh. Like,
by far.
Joe Trahan used to give me hell about it all the time. He's like, I wish you would dress as nice for the game as you dress for the plane. And I don't think that was just a, because there was used to be, like, you used to have to do sport coat and dress pants and everything for the plane.
Oh. And you just would not rewear that attire for the game?
Nope. hoodie and jeans is what.
Hoodie
is what
and jeans?
You get this and jeans. That's what you get at the Cowboys games from me.
All right.
David Hellman once told me, he's like, I respect how little you care about what people think about how you look. And I was like, thanks. That sounds like an insult. Mm-hmm. But.
And what is it at the, what is it at the House of Yeast?
Got to dress up. I wear khaki pants. Most of my family wears jeans, but I do the khaki pants.
You wear khaki pants?
Yeah.
This is an Easter.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It is an Easter thing.
Peyton, let's go out by the, what are the blue flowers called again? With the poison?
Oh, the blue bonnet.
Yeah,
blue
he's bonnet. Like, let's go get a blue bonnet
photo. Get a blue bonnet.
And you?
I'll wear jeans. And then, I mean, it'll be a, it depends on how hot it is. If it's warm, like it is now, I'll probably just wear like a plain black t-shirt. Or like a plain blue t-shirt, something just very easy.
54 degrees, the high on Thanksgiving. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it doesn't even matter to me what it is outside. It's going to be warm in the house with all the cooking and all the people.
My mom keeps the AC at 78 and the heat at 74.
Oh, I was about to say, it's not going to be warm in her house because she ain't cooking nothing.
She's cooking a ham.
What does she keep it at?
78 in the summer.
78, okay.
And then 74 for the heat in the winter.
So right now it's on 74?
Brutal. I had to go over there yesterday to fix her TV. You know, 2 hours later, I'm sitting there on hold because she still uses a cable box. And I said, you know what she pays? You know what she pays for a month for TV?
$25.
$330. I said, what are you doing? You could go get $70 YouTube TV. What are you doing?
Does she have Sunday ticket? Or what is
I don't have Sunday ticket. She has every channel on that.
She's having to watch Dame.
She has like Smithsonian 3. We like still she has every channel.
We still have the AC on.
How many, what?
We still have the AC on. I haven't even flipped the heater on yet. Yeah.
I was trying to think of how many like own channels she'd have to pay for. Is that why?
She's got a lot of them. She's got all of them.
No,
I gotta watch my O'Reilly.
Yesterday was the day it hit
me. No spin zone.
I think my dad will be asleep right now, but yesterday it hit me where I'm like, thank God, I don't live in the same city or state as my parents. Not from you, Mom. My dad yesterday, I almost went back out in the pool and didn't come out. I
cold plunge, baby.
He took me to. As soon as I walked in the door, he's on the phone with a computer person. Sean, come here, come here. I had an aunt guy over. I'm trying to throw a brisket on for him. I'm trying to get my daughter fine with the sickness. And I go in there, and my dad's like, here, you talk to him. And the feeling that comes over you in that moment. And I'm thinking there's a virus, something's been compromised. It's to empty his junk folder. He doesn't know how to empty the junk folder. He doesn't know how to reset like the trash.
Fridays at 7:40.
In the email. And just throughout the whole day, help me shift over my money from crypto. Help me this, help me. And I just like, I'm like, you know, Sunday when you are supposed to fly back, the busiest travel day of the year, you might want to check Saturday.
Yeah, check Saturday.
You should check Saturday.
Who does he do this with? Currently, my brother. Your brother gets it all the time?
I texted my brother. I said, thank you. I said, I owe you thanks for over the years. Because every time I miss my parents, I wish I was in this. Should I Baltimore? Should I DC? Yesterday ended that.
Ended it?
Ended it. Ooh. Love you, Mom.
You going anywhere with that?
Is that it for the Thanksgiving agreement?
Like, what do you do? Like, what do you do here? This lady decides, like, I'm skipping, like, we're canceling Thanksgiving.
I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm not adhering to these rules. You got to have a little bit of, like, family bickering here and there.
To me,
you just got to have the right referee. You got to have the person who steps in and is like, okay, like, let's shift the conversation if it gets a little bit too heated. You know, someone to maintain the order.
I'm going to be bored this year at Thanksgiving. Like, my sister and her husband and their kids, they're on a cruise. They're not going.
Yeah,
she's the New York Times subscriber of the family.
She wasn't kidding when she said she'd leave the country.
That's right. She literally is. So I was kind of like, every time they come over, I always try to like throw some chum out of the middle of the table because I know her and my mom will go at it because they don't talk politics at all. And I'm like, I love talking politics with either one of them because I'm like, all right, let's just go. I don't mind. But like, I like just throw the chum in there, but she's not going to be there. So it's going to be me and my mom and Sarah and my kids and my nephew Nick and then Aunt Surrection.
Mm.
All right. So it's a very simple, maybe her new gentleman friend that she has. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't think so.
The sister has a new gentleman?
My mom's sister, yeah.
Your mom's sister. Okay. Yeah.
They went on the over 80 dating app.
Oh, and so this is Aunt Surrection.
Aunt Surrection.
So he must lean.
She found the one guy that didn't get put in jail.
That's right.
It's over 80, of course.
Well, they're all getting out.
They're all getting out.
Live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Speaking of traveling, American Airlines embarrassment. We got plane refunds as well. How long you can hug at the airport. I saw this as a headline. All these things.
Some airports are banning hugs. Like
is not true.
They said they want no more than 2 minutes during the holiday season of a hug.
In America?
It was in the U.S.
So I know New Zealand recently did this. So New Zealand said they were getting tired of people just lingering in the airport area saying goodbye. So if you plan on saying goodbye to a loved one for longer than 3 minutes in New Zealand, you're in trouble.
How does it take 3 minutes?
I don't know. Like, I mean,
two minutes.
Clearly, that must, if they're needing to institute this rule, they must have people who are lingering way too long. Yeah. And they're just like, guys, come on, this is crowded.
But you lingering where?
So it says that this is
When I walk to the kiosk, that's the only linger area.
The only linger
you can
by
do
the TSA, maybe.
So they have a new sign imposing a 3 minute limit on hugs and its drop off zone. They added, for fonder farewells, please use the car park. Bunch of different people commented, said, this is awful. You can't give a, in fact, they said, you, one comment said, you can't give a curfew on cuddles.
That's,
oh man.
That's where it is. It's the drop off.
It's drop offs. I'm totally on board with this.
Yeah.
The drop offs. So, by the way, New Zealand Parliament seems lit right now.
What's that?
New Zealand Parliament.
Oh, yeah, where they're doing the haka.
Oh,
Yeah, they don't just go like I filibuster.
Yeah,
they
I wish C-SPAN their filibuster. Would just start showing, you know, New Zealand Parliament. American Airlines is starting this. Over 100 airports have this new thing. So you know when you go to board and they call you by group number, group one may board, group two, three, four, whatever.
A1 through 30.
Yeah. Now they have this. When you try to board before your group, it's going to make this very loud, obnoxious sound, hoping to embarrass you.
Mm.
Because there is nothing worse than, like, you think you hear your group, you just go up there, and then now you got to, like, sit off to the side.
Well, no one thinks they hear it. Everyone's trying to pull one over.
I hate the Southwest boarding. The issue I have there is just the, like, fake... If you know you're the one who's supposed to be at the front of the little pillar,
what number are you?
I'm A16, I'm A1, I'm in front. That's the worst part is you having to fake like you don't know where you're supposed to be standing because you got to politely tell the person step back, you are not supposed to be here.
And I always feel like I have to show them my ticket to prove I'm not lying.
Right,
like they're an usher.
Yeah. I'm like I am one ahead of you. I belong here.
So I'm all in favor of this one. I think we need more embarrassment. That there is out there.
Did you see the Delta thing, Sean?
No, read the actual words. I read this out loud to my family last night. What you wrote, the final line.
Oh, if you board your flight before your group call, I am here. Quit crowding the aisle. Us folks with status have no time for you peasants.
There it is. There it is.
Get That's out of my
Delta
way.
Ran into that though. Somebody with status, their highest level, like frequent flyer. Got to their seat recently on a flight, didn't have a tray table.
How?
And when they went to one of these, I guess they're called red coats or something, whoever the people are at Delta who handle
British are coming. Their
the line they were told was, they said, you are entitled to a seat, not a tray table. And they wouldn't move them up. This is like the highest level frequent flyer, like rewards member that they had at Delta. And they were just told, nope, sorry. And they're like, so I can't work on my laptop during this flight? They're like, nope, sorry. You're entitled to a seat. You get nothing else.
That's, no, I have a big problem.
All right, we have a Post Malone ticket giveaway post hut clarity to get you ready for the Giants. But next, it's the college football kegger. RJ says Texas A&M ain't done yet. And is Shedeur Sanders turning in to Ron Artest? College football kegger after this.